Turn your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, we'll be reading verses 20 through 23. I'll read the even verses, verses 20 and 22. You'll join me on verses 21 and 23, Proverbs. And if you've found Proverbs chapter 4, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, again, beginning verse number 20. My son, attend my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the time we have to read your word, or we're about to hear from the man of God. Lord, I pray that you'd incline our ears to what's about to be said. Lord, I pray the special would prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, we'd have open ears and open hearts for what you have for us this morning. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Salvation. salvation and Lord of creation. Oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart today.
That's a wonderful prayer to pray when you come to church. And the songs and the singing, the preaching, Lord, speak to my heart. I hope you'll keep reminded this week. Molly Rigsby's having a procedure tomorrow at the hospital to help the blood flow in her left leg. And then on Tuesday, Tim Gardner's having his knee repaired. It's still on for Tuesday, Tim. So he'll be having surgery on his knee. And then a week from Monday, Brother John McAdoo goes in. So pray for these folks. But this week, especially Molly and Tim, as they'll both have surgery Monday and Tuesday. Let's pray together this morning. I want to speak to you on the guarded heart. The guarded heart, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So let me talk on the guarded heart this morning. Our Father in heaven, would you please come now, and as was just sung, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Now, Lord, there's a reason that we want you to speak to our hearts, because we need it, number one. Number two, we intend to do something about it, at least I hope that's what our prayer is. Lord, not just speak to us so that we can say, hey, God spoke to me. But speak to us, God, so that we can change something, make it better, fix something that's broken, repair something, God, I pray, in our lives. Encourage us somehow through the Word of God today, and we'll thank you for it. Help me as I preach. I ask for your power, your Spirit's blessing, in Jesus' name, and amen. You have been having some strange symptoms going on with your body, things you've never really experienced before, and so you break down and make an appointment with the doctor, with all the fears of Obamacare, of course, to realize. And by the way, a lot of our missionaries in their letters right now are having unbelievable insurance problems because of the implementation of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, amen, that just made this so wonderful. But I digress, which I enjoy doing, so let me get back on point, okay? You go to the doctor, and he examines you, and then he shocks you with words like these. There seems to be a problem with your heart. Now, that gets your attention. Nobody desires a knee surgery or a hip surgery or a shoulder replacement. Nobody desires those kind of surgeries. Tim didn't desire to get this knee repaired. But hearing that you need one of those worked on does not do to you what hearing that you need your heart worked on does to you. Because if push comes to shove, perish the thought, you could probably live without a knee. Okay? Live without maybe a shoulder or a hip. But you know what? You can't live without a heart. So when the doctor says it's a heart problem, it's like, whoa, it shakes you a little bit. And it's like, wait a minute. And then then you're keyed in. Then the doctor comes and he lays out a program for you to help avoid bypass surgery or maybe avoid a stent. And you know what happens to us, folks? We get real serious because we understand that, physically speaking, life issues from the heart. Truth of the matter is, I am not uncertain. I'm not so certain, I guess. I'm not certain. But that God is speaking about the physical heart here in verses 20, 21, 22, and 23, as much as He is also giving instructions and talk and symbolism about the spiritual heart of man. Because look at what He says in verse number 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And He's talking about the Word of God there. And by the way, I believe that. I believe the Word of God is health to your flesh. Absolutely, I do. So keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The reason heart trouble shakes us up is because, hey, wait a minute. Life issues from our hearts. Now, we've been talking about the matter of the heart in the month of March. I will preach about that again tonight. Already have the message ready to go, unless God would change it this afternoon. But I'm not talking about the heart that beats in our chest and then the core of the circulatory system. I'm talking about the heart as the Bible uses it most often, the inner core of a person, the inside of us that nobody knows but us and God. I'm talking about our thoughts, our emotions, our will, the heart of mankind, the heart of a woman, the heart of a man, the heart of a young person, that really determines how our life is issued, how our life is conducted. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The heart and how it's issued, how life issues from the heart. Now, Solomon, the wise man, understands how serious a matter the heart is. And so he tells his son in verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Familiar Bible verse. Keep. What's he mean by the word keep there? He means it's a term of protection. It's a term of means guarding. Once in a while, somebody will bring me something and say, Pastor, could you please keep this for me? I'm going on vacation. Or could you keep this for me? I'm going to have something going on. I don't want this in my house. Could you keep this for me? Would you watch out for this? Would you protect it? Would you guard this for me? And that's the word that is used here in Proverbs 4:23. It's a term of protection. And he says, keep. He says, protect. He says, guard. With all diligence. That means work at it. That means don't be careless. That means like a guard would stand watch over a prisoner. Or like a guard would protect one of these Brinks guys, would protect a deposit of money and would carry a sidearm to help protect that deposit of money. That's the kind of thing he's saying here. Work at it. Don't be careless about it. Do it diligently. Guard, protect, keep your heart. Watch over it. We're to guard and protect the heart, our inner core person, with all diligence. Why? Because life issues out of our hearts. The issues of life come from our heart. What are you saying, Brother Angel? I'm saying that the direction of my heart determines the direction of my life. And the direction of your heart determines the direction of your life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, young people, when our heart is headed a certain direction, it is only a little while before our life catches up to it. Now, we can fake it for a while. You can hide it for a while. You can cover it for a while. You can put some veneer over it for a while. But listen carefully, sooner or later, my life is going to reflect my heart. It's going to come out. Has to. It's going to come out. Life issues from my heart. So sooner or later, even though I might be faking and covering up and got a good coat of veneer polish over it so that dad, mom, or spouse, or whoever else, you know, or children, whoever else is involved, they don't really quite got it figured out quite. They don't have it quite figured out right yet. But sooner or later, the life is going to reflect the heart. All of us have known people who shocked us by, watch it now, quote, all of a sudden, taking a major 180-degree turn. I mean, a 180-degree turn in their life. And where once they were with God and with God's Word and in God's will and going God's way, now they are away from God and they're apart from God's Word and they're not in God's will and they're not in God's way. And sometimes we say about that person, that's the last person we ever thought would do that. Hear me very carefully. It is not all of a sudden. Nobody makes a turn like that all of a sudden. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., that great preacher years ago, said this. He said, behind every tragedy in human character, there is a slow process of wicked thinking. Now, if you've been here over the month of March, thinking, thoughts, that's the mind. That's the inner core. That's part of the heart of man. It's part of the heart of a person. The inner core of a person. Listen to it again. Behind every tragedy in human character, there is a slow process of wicked thinking. Understand, folks, that when you see somebody headed this direction, God's way, God's will, God's Word, and all of a sudden, shoop, boom, and it's away from God's will. Their heart was already going that direction before their life was. And now you and I are really just seeing the revealing, the revelation of the direction their heart has been going for some length of time. It doesn't happen on a dime. It doesn't happen on a dime. Now look here, David in the Old Testament, that great king who was after God's own heart, David had a serious, tragic breakdown in character, did he not? He committed murder, adultery. But David never changed direction. Because David's heart, even though he sinned and had a moral breakdown, his heart was still going that direction. You with me? You got somebody who's not committed outward adultery and outward murder, but all man alive, they don't just have a moral breakdown. They have a complete turn in their life. And you wonder, how in the world could that happen so quickly? It did not happen quickly. It was a slow process of time. Their heart's been going that direction for a long time. Their life just finally revealed it. And I'm not advocating, well, then, okay, let's all come out. Let's all go out and commit murder and adultery. As long as our heart stays after God. I'm not advocating that at all. You know better than that. I'm simply making the point here of the truth of this verse where God said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's why God said, protect it. That's why God said, guard it. Because watch it, once your heart goes, I can be pointing this direction in my life, but once my heart is headed that direction, it's only a matter of time before my life goes that direction as well. And reveals what really is in my heart. My life will follow my heart. Now, I do want you to say, this is what I want to preach about this morning. There are some strong influences in life that can alter the direction of our hearts. Some strong influences in life that can alter the direction of our hearts. I want to show you this morning. And write these verses down because I see the time on the clock there and I want to finish. And I don't want to take that. I got these verses written down for you, so let me just read them to you. But write down, if you'd like to take notes, what is a strong influence that can alter the direction of our heart? Number one, women. Women. I just lost a third of the crowd or a half the crowd right there, okay? But ladies, I'm going to just hang with me a minute, okay? Women. I'm going to broaden it in just a second, but let me give you the scripture, okay? Listen very carefully. Write this down. Deuteronomy 17:17. God is giving Moses instructions about the future kings of Israel and how they should live their lives. Now listen to what he says. He says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, listen, that his heart turn not away. So whoever's going to be king of Israel should not multiply wives unto himself, lest his heart, that his heart turn not away. Now, the man whose pen wrote these words, keep thy heart with all diligence, was the king of Israel. His name is Solomon. And when he got old, listen to what the Bible says. In 1 Kings 11:4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. You said, wives, did Solomon have a couple wives? A couple. 300. 300. I bet his makeup bill was enormous. Amen. Bible time. Merle Norman made a killing off of Solomon. 300 of them. And here is the king of Israel. He's got an explicit command from Deuteronomy that he's not supposed to multiply wives to himself, because here's the danger. If you multiply wives to yourself, you might get one wife who's going that direction when you're going this direction. God's way, God's will, God's word, and she's going the opposite direction, away from God's way, away from God's will, away from God's word, and you don't want to get so close to her that she influences your heart, so don't you multiply wives unto yourself. He's the one who said, keep thy heart with all diligence. He broke the words that he wrote. He didn't protect and guard his heart, and as he got older, Solomon's wives turned his heart. Now, let me broaden the word women to anyone of the opposite gender. Because the principle works both ways. Men and boys, be careful. There are women out there who will turn your heart from God. And ladies and girls, be careful. There are men out there who will turn your heart from God. Especially now, you unmarried young people, you single young people. When it is time to start showing interest in someone, they have caught your attention, or they are attractive to you. And let's just be honest with each other. Isn't that involved in the beginning stages when somebody catches our attention? A guy doesn't go home and tell his dad, "Dad, I saw this girl. She's the ugliest thing in the world. I'm excited." No, she's attractive to him. The woman is attractive to him. The man is attractive to the woman. Now, when and if that starts to happen to you, the first, not the second, the first, not the third, the first matter that you better get information about is their relationship with your God. Not the second or third. Not 1A. Uno. One. The first thing on the list is, what is this person's inner core attitude and mindset and heart, emotions, choices? What's their track record about going in God's way, God's will, God's Word? Because if I allow myself, listen, if I get them in my heart, if I get them on my mind, and I allow them to play with my affections, and I make decisions because I've got them, want them to be closer to me, and so I make decisions based on I want them to be closer to me, without finding out if they're even saved. And that's what happens. A girl lets a boy into her heart. A boy lets a girl into the heart. Without ever finding out what direction are they going. What direction are they going? And by the way, for all you single adults in your 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or whatever, you're just as gullible. Yes, sir. And don't fool with me on that. Pastor, 24 years in the same place and 10 years as an assistant pastor, and I can give you examples of that. Your heart can be turned just like the heart of a teenager. If you let somebody in, you have no idea what their track record for the Lord is like, whether they're saved, whether they're Baptist, you say, well, that really doesn't matter. You're making a huge mistake. Baptists practice their faith differently. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, you've got real weak Baptist roots, Baptist ties. Absolutely. You better know, are they saved? How do they go to church? How is the practice of their faith lived out? If they're a young person, what is their attitude toward their parents? What is their attitude toward, yeah, but she's pretty, yeah, but he's handsome? That is only going to go so far after you're married. And probably not as far as you think. Especially when you're older. Be careful, folks. Be careful. An unsaved or a worldly carnal Christian can turn your heart from God. Look, I don't have to give you an illustration this morning. You're sitting there right now thinking of one. You may be the illustration. You may be. Where you allow somebody into your heart that was going a different direction than you were. They covered it up for a while. And, you know, listen, that's why, look, You know what? I'm not even going to say that. I've said enough this morning. Just the opposite gender can turn your heart. On it. Turn your heart. And now your heart is, after a period of time of letting them into your heart and get closer to your heart, now you've turned with them and your heart is going the opposite direction. Women, when I say women, I'm using the word women because it goes with all my other W's in my outline this morning, okay? So I'm using the word women, though, about both genders. Number two, what can turn your heart according to the Bible? Write it down if you'd like to. Wealth. Wealth can turn your heart. Let me finish reading Deuteronomy 17:17. After God told the kings not to multiply wives to themselves, He said, neither shall He greatly multiply to Himself silver and gold. Don't multiply to yourself silver and gold. Chapter 62 of the book of Psalms in verse 10 says this. Now, I love this verse. Listen carefully. If riches increase, set not thine heart on them. Does that verse say that it's wrong for riches to increase? No. It says if riches do increase, don't let it turn your heart. I said it. I will continue to say it and repeat it as long as God lets me have the liberty to do so, because of the flood of socialism that is engulfing our country today. It is not wrong, unbiblical, to have money. It's not do you have money, does money have you? And we have to be careful that we work hard to bring our children and hopefully our grandchildren up in this socialistic society that wants everybody to believe that if somebody has money, they're evil. That's not true. There are a lot of folks who love God and have money, but money does not have them. Their heart is not set upon it. I remember I said this before, Catherine Vineyard, when Tom Vineyard and Melissa were missionaries over in Ivory Coast, they were home at Windsor Hills Baptist Church for a furlough, and they were at the church there. And I believe it was during either one of the youth conferences or Brother Coral's conference down there, and I was a guest speaker, so I was sitting on somebody else was preaching in the service, and I was sitting on the front row because that's where they always have the guest speakers sit, and their platform is like this. And so you're sitting like this, and after a while, you've got to give your neck a break. And so, you know, I kind of did this and kind of turned. When I turned my head like this, Tom and Melissa and their daughters were sitting over here. Their oldest daughter, Catherine, was 4 years old at the time. And I did a double take because Catherine was sitting there, a little four-year-old girl, and she had her head back like this, and she had a big old quarter on each eye. And she's sitting there with quarters on her eyes. And it tickled me. And I can't remember who was sitting next to me, and I pointed over there, you know, we chuckled together. And about that time, Brother Tom is a good Christian. He's listening to the service, you know. And he looks down at his daughter, man, he yanks those quarters off her eyes. But you know that little girl, you know, that's a pretty good picture of the potential that wealth has for every child of God. You have dollar signs in your eyes. Let me tell you something that I always do with fear and trembling. Every now and again, I have the opportunity. Somebody comes to me and says, look, there's a job opportunity. There's a job opening. I need somebody faithful. I need somebody that's got a good record. I need somebody that you have confidence in will work hard. And I'm very careful anymore because I got burned. Remember Tim Donahoe? I called him and asked him to hire. Remember that guy? I mean, he lasted 2 days. Remember that? So I don't do that much anymore. But once in a while, somebody comes and I got it. I know some young husband, maybe young dad, you know, he's just barely keeping his nose above water, just living week to week, working 40, 45, 50 hours, and got a couple of kids, maybe a kid or two or three. And just, I mean, it's just a struggle to make it financially. And this job opportunity has the potential to increase them financially. And so I go to them. Say, would you be interested in such and such and such and such? Oh, man. But I always do that with fear and trembling. I always do it with fear and trembling. Because listen, with the increase of wealth comes the risk of having their heart turned away from God. Friend, that is the potential of wealth. The Bible makes it clear. And my fear and trembling is that more money will turn their heart from God. You know, I have watched it happen, folks. I have seen young couples start making more money and serve God less. And I just... Because in my way of thinking, it would be just the opposite. You know, if God gives you this opportunity to increase and you're able to do better than you were and you realize that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, why wouldn't that make you want to do more to serve God? Not less. But money has the potential to turn us. It has the potential to turn us from God's way, from God's will, and from God's Word. God said that it does. Now, men, God may move you someday for work. He's moved men in the past from Faith Baptist Church because of work. Work that provides an increase financially. But let me preach to you this morning before you say yes. Before you say, I will move my wife and family away from a church that's been a help to me. You better ask yourself this question. Not how much am I going to increase my salary. Not how much better are the benefits. What kind of chance for advancement is there? Here is the one question you better ask first and foremost. Is there a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, traditional Baptist church within driving distance of where I'm going to live? That's number one. That's number one. That's why year 2000, we're getting ready to do our second Vision Unlimited for the school building. Brother Steve Hallberg comes to me and he says, "Preacher, I got this opportunity, a different company, and it's an increase financially. It's a better position. It's a better opportunity for advancement, and it's up in Elgin. What do you think?" I said, "Steve, sounds good to me." And every time I go to that church for any meeting, revival meeting, whatever it is, there's Steve and there's Brenda. Still serving God. He got an increase. He got advancement. But it didn't turn his heart. And one of the reasons it didn't turn his heart, one of the reasons it helped him, is there's this timid, gentle guy up there in the pulpit preaching every Sunday. Amen. It kind of helps keep him on course. Huh? Yeah. That's the first question you ask yourself. Is there a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church? Parents, many families need their teens to get a job to help with expenses as the child gets older. You got multiple kids and the financial load is heavy. But let me tell you something. You don't just give them carte blanche about going off to work. Working on Sunday, missing services, even working on Wednesday night, missing church, missing time away from the family. You better be careful. Money can turn the heart of a young person. And listen to me, when someday they are in their adulthood and they are pursuing riches and pursuing money at a breakneck pace and they're ignoring God and they've turned their back on God's Word, God's will, and God's way and they're breaking your heart, you will despise the day you let them work on Sunday. Despise the day. Despise it. What will I do? Because money has that potential. I mean, letting them miss Sunday services for a paltry minimum wage. Well, that's going up. It's $8 or something. I don't care if it's $100 an hour. This book tells me that the precepts and the statutes and the ordinances and the judgments and the principles of this book are more to be desired than much gold, yea, than much fine gold. You're putting a priority on something that the Bible says this is better than the gold. I didn't say that. God said it. We sing it. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. But let me go work for $8.20. Whew. I don't know. Money can turn your heart. Wealth can turn your heart. You know, somebody says, Pastor, why can't I ever get money? It seems like I can never get too far ahead. Maybe God's protecting you. I'm not against increase. But I would rather, and I did for a while, for a lot of years, I'd rather live week to week, paycheck to paycheck, barely keep my nose above going this direction, God's way, God's will, God's word, than making thousands of dollars and have my heart turn away. I don't have time to preach at all. Women, which is anybody from the opposite gender. Wealth, number three, world. The world can turn your heart. Write it down. Just listen to this. In A.D. 64, in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 14, listen to what Paul wrote. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. 2 years later, in A.D. 66, in 2 Timothy 4, 10 and 11, Paul wrote these words. Only Luke is with me. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The world turned his heart. Watch it. And his life caught up with it. The follies and the fashion and the frills of this world can turn our heart from following God. That's all I want to say about that, because I've got to give you the answer. Are you in the book of Proverbs? What is the answer? What do I need to help me guard, protect, keep my heart with all diligence so that women, wealth, and world won't turn my heart? Look at verse number 20. My son, attend to my words. And the implication there is not just the words that Solomon was writing down. He's talking about the words of the Word of God. Attend to my words. Look at verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Now watch this. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You got to get in the Word of God. The Word of God kept in the middle of our hearts. The Word of God guarding our thoughts. The Word of God guarding our emotions. The Word of God guarding our decisions. The Word of God guarding our inner core person has the power to keep us from being turned by women, wealth, and the world. It's the Word of God. Now, I like what it says right there. Verse 21. Look at it. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What does the word midst mean, folks? Middle. Middle. Now, watch me. I don't know any other way to illustrate this. Watch carefully. If this little section of the platform up here represents my heart, if I let somebody from the opposite gender, somebody or wealth or the world. Are you with me okay? All right? So this microphone represents somebody of the opposite gender. If I'm a man, that means a woman. If you're a woman, that means a man. Okay? If I let somebody from the opposite gender, if I let money, if I let this stuff right here, if I let the world into the middle of my inner core person. Yeah, but Pastor, I still read the Bible, you know, and I pay a little bit of attention to it, and I'm careful. And I let the Word of God be on the peripheral. Life issues from my heart. This is not going to be judged by the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be judged by this. I'll make excuses. I'll find ways around what the Word of God says. I'll justify this through some kind of crazy philosophy I pick up somewhere on the internet. So if I let somebody in of the opposite gender, if I let money, if I let the world in the middle of my heart, and the Bible, the Word of God, is on the peripheral, I am in danger of having my heart turned. But if this represents the Word of God, if the Word of God is in the middle of my heart, and somebody from the opposite gender and wealth and the world are on the peripheral, then I will look at that person from the opposite gender through the perspective of God's Word. I will look at that wealth through the perspective of God's Word. I will look at the world through the perspective of God's world. I need the Word of God in the middle of my heart. Smack dab in the middle. I don't need a casual relationship with the Bible. I don't need a laissez-faire relationship with the Bible. I need an intimate relationship with the Word of God so that it's in the very center of my heart, so that everything that has the potential to turn my heart and go the other direction is judged through the prism of God's Word. I don't think. Are you all with me? Do you understand? That's not complicated. I know it's not. That's simple. How's your relationship? Are you guarding your heart? Oh, yes, sir, I am. Well, I got a more intimate question than are you guarding your heart? What's your relationship with the Bible like? I'll promise you, in this room, there are people who have not picked this book up since last Sunday. Since last Sunday. But I'm okay, Pastor. I'm okay. My heart's not in danger of being turned. I know John 3:16. And I know Ephesians 2:8 and 9. I know I'm saved by grace. And I know what the Word of God says. No. It's the person who has a relationship with the Word of God, has some of it hidden in their heart, and views everything on the peripheral of their life through the prism of God's truth. That's how you keep your heart protected. That book. Keep it in the middle of your heart. Find yourself a time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And my suggestion would be the same time every day to have about 10 minutes, if you can't afford anything else, about 10 minutes in this book. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. Get it down here in your thoughts. Let it drive your inner core person, and the Word of God will protect you. Because listen very carefully, I'm done. As goes your heart, so goes your life. Bottom line. The guarded heart. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Got to quit. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I tried to make clear application to the Word of God this morning. And I wonder, friend, if there might be somebody here today that would say, Pastor, the truth of the matter is, I am not in a relationship with my Bible like I should be to have it in the very core, the center of my heart, the middle of my heart. I need that. I need a better relationship with my Bible. I'm too casual. I'm too careless. Please pray for me. When you close your prayer this morning, the service, pray for me that I'll do better in my relationship with my Bible. Would you raise your hand, please, all over this room? I appreciate it. God bless you. I see that. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate your honesty. That's the only thing that will help protect us, folks. It's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's not some illustrations. It's not story. It is the Word of God. Somebody else, Pastor, pray for me. Maybe there's somebody here, your heart is already turned the other direction or going that way, and you're alarmed, you're concerned about it. Maybe it's somebody of the opposite gender. Maybe it's wealth. Maybe it's the world. Pastor, pray for me. I'm concerned about my heart. I am concerned enough to raise my hand with my head bowed and my eyes closed and say, pray for me this morning. When you close, I'm concerned about, would you raise your hand this morning? I'm concerned about my heart. Be honest about it. God bless you and you. Is there somebody else? I'm concerned about my heart. As goes your heart, so goes your life. Now let me ask this question today. How many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I'm on my way to heaven, born into God's family. I'm concerned about my heart, but at least I know that I'm saved. Pray for me. That's my testimony. Could you raise your hand this morning? I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Maybe there's somebody here that couldn't raise your hand. You say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know where I'll go when I die, where I'll spend eternity. Pray for me. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. I'd like to raise it now and ask you to pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that? Would you just slip it up? God bless you. Is there somebody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody else this morning? I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm fixing to pray. Don't want to leave you out. Don't want to leave you out. I'm not sure I'm saved, or I know I'm not. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please be with the folks that raised a hand this morning. Some that need to have a better relationship with their Bible. Some are concerned about their heart, the direction of it. Lord, one is not certain of salvation, and there might be more here today. Please speak to hearts. Please draw folks to truth and to Christ is my prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. If you raised your hand just now and asked me to pray for you, not sure that you're saved, I want you to come as soon as the music begins and let me have somebody, a woman, show you how you can know that you're saved. In fact, we'll do it right now. If you'd like to know for sure and get it all settled, why don't you come? That's great. Tracy, if you want to come and speak with this lady, that'd be wonderful. Somebody else, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I should come get it settled, Pastor. Anybody like that this morning? All right, if you raised your hand and said, I'm not sure about the direction, I'm concerned about the direction of my heart or my relationship with my Bible is not the best. You ought to come this morning. Talk to God about it. Start the process. Start the process here at the altar. And let God continue to work. Or if you've been saved and you need to be baptized, you ought to come. Let's stand together as the ladies begin to play. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? Take a moment and talk back to God. Many, many hands went up in the air this morning. My relationship with my Bible is not what it ought to be. But let's say this is where it starts right now. This is where it starts right now. It does not start by looking around the auditorium. It starts by responding to God. Would you come? Would you come while we wait today? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Keep my words in the center of your heart. Keep my words in the center of your heart, right in the middle of your heart. That means that everything I think about, my emotions, my choices, I start through the prism of God's truth. Must happen. Must happen. While we wait today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening.